Now think about it. Here are three men. Which of them has most experience of all the pleasures we have mentioned? Does the lover of profit learn about the nature of truth itself? Do you think he has more experience of the pleasure of knowledge than the lover of wisdom has of the pleasure of making money? There's no comparison, he said. The lover of wisdom is compelled to taste both pleasures right from his earliest years. The lover of profit, on the other hand, is not compelled to learn about the nature of things or taste and experience the sweetness of this pleasure. Even if he really wanted to, he would find it difficult. In which case, I said, when it comes to experience of both sets of pleasures, the lover of wisdom has a great advantage over the lover of profit. Yes, a great advantage. And does he have an advantage over the lover of honour? Or does he have less experience of the pleasures of being respected than the lover of honour has of the pleasure of knowledge? No, he said, if they accomplish what each individually sets out to achieve, they all find that recognition follows. The rich man is widely respected, so is the courageous man, and so is the wise man. So they all experience the pleasure of being respected. They all know what it is like. But only the lover of wisdom, the philosopher, is in the position of having tasted the contemplation of what is and the pleasure it brings. On grounds of experience, then, I said, he is the best judge out of these men. Much the best. What is more, won't he be the only one whose experience has been accompanied by reflection? Of course. And the instrument with which judgment should be made does not belong to the lover of profit or the lover of honour, but to the lover of wisdom. What instrument is that? We said judgment should be made using reasoned arguments, didn't we? Yes, and reasoning is essentially the instrument of the philosopher, the lover of wisdom. Of course. If wealth and profit were the best means of deciding questions, the truest recommendations or criticisms would necessarily be those of the lover of profit. Necessarily. And if honour and victory and courage were the best means, wouldn't the truest recommendations be those of the lover of honour or lover of victory? Obviously. But since experience, reflection, and reasoning are the best means, the truest recommendations will necessarily be those of the lover of wisdom and lover of reasoning, he said. Of these three pleasures, then, will the one belonging to the part of the soul with which we learn be the most enjoyable? And does the person in whom this part rules have the most enjoyable life? How can he fail to? He said. At the very least, he's certainly giving an expert opinion, the reflective man, when he recommends his own life. Which life does our judge put in second place? And which pleasure? The pleasure of the warlike lover of honour, obviously. It is closer to him than the pleasure of the moneymaker. So, he puts the lover of profit's pleasure third, apparently. Yes, of course, he said. That's two wins out of two, then, for the just over the unjust. Now, we come to the third round. If you think about pleasure, you can see that for anyone other than the wise, it is not true and pure, but a kind of shadow picture. Or so I think I've been told by some expert.